How many of you had guests for Seder? Well, that's nice. How many of you were guests for Seder? Some of a little of this and a little of that. Did everybody, well, everybody had one guest in common, no matter what Seder you were at, I believe. Who was that? Elijah, exactly right, exactly right. Why? Why Elijah at a Passover Seder? Why Elijah at my Seder and your Seder and your Seder and your Seder and your Seder as well? Yes, John tells us. Because he's so important. Awesome answer. That's right. Elijah is said to be the harbinger of the messianic era, of the Messiah itself. And so Passover being the season of redemption, we're taught that Elijah comes each year to check out our homes, to check out our world, to see if we are ready for redemption. Do you think we're ready for redemption yet this year? Yeah, maybe not so much, but that's okay. That was nevertheless Elijah's role. As a matter of fact, as well, interesting quirk that we know in the Bible, in the stories about Elijah, Elijah ascends to heaven in a chariot of fire, and he is never said to have died. And therefore, the legend goes that Elijah still lives and works for God in all of these wondrous and mysterious kind of ways, and will someday return in order to herald the coming of the Messiah. And the rabbis figured as long as Elijah was going to come back one day, if there was such a difficult question in rabbinic undertaking that they couldn't agree on an answer, and you know the ancient rabbis, they like to argue and debate and discuss, if they couldn't decide who was right and who was wrong, what an answer would be, they would say teku, which means tishbi yitaret kushiot ubayot, which means the Tishbite, Elijah, Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, Elijah the Tishbite, he's going to resolve the questions and the answers. That is to say, when Elijah comes, we're going to ask him all the questions that we couldn't answer, and he'll give us the right answers. One of those is how many cups of wine you drink at a Seder. Now, we know the answer. How many cups of wine do we drink at Seder? Many. Four cups, right? Why four cups? Well, because in the telling of the Passover story, there are four promises that God makes to redeem the Israelites, four different times, and for each one of those cups, the rabbis ordained a cup of wine. Except there's actually a fifth time, or what might be a fifth promise. The grammar's a little unclear. Depends on the intonation. The rabbis couldn't decide, so they decided pour the fifth cup, but don't drink it yet. Wait for Elijah to come back and tell us the answer. Should we drink the fifth cup or not? And that fifth cup of wine, therefore, is Elijah's cup. That's the origin of that piece of tradition. So, over the years, many different folk stories came about Elijah, because he would appear from time to time, sometimes in disguise, sometimes not, but always to teach us something. So I thought, in honor of Elijah, that very important guy, I'd share just three brief extra Elijah stories with you today. They come from various pieces of our heritage and our tradition, but you can share them at Passover later this week, next year if you remember them, or I'll tell them to you again and they'll be like new. First story about Elijah. The story is told of a young boy who continually asked his father, the proprietor of an inn, when he would get to meet Elijah the prophet. His father always told him just to be patient. Well, one night, the boy was left to care for the inn while his father was called off to tend to another manor. A poor man entered, obviously hungry and tired, weary from his travels, but dressed in a poor man's set of clothes. He was dirty and certainly did not smell so great. The beggar pleaded for a place to rest and a bite to eat, but the boy, because his father did not want these kind of people in his establishment, the young boy scolded him and demanded that he leave. The poor man turned to the door and left. Soon after, the father returned and asked if anybody had entered while he was gone. No, father, nobody came. The father asked again, are you certain that no person was here? Well, the young boy said, there was this dirty beggar who stopped in, but I sent him away as quickly as I could. Father was quiet for a moment and then asked his son, "My son, did you greet the man? Did you call out, 'Shalom Aleichem, peace be upon you,' to him?" The son shook his head, "No." "Don't you know that perhaps it was Elijah the prophet himself who came to call upon us? Why didn't you invite him to stay? Perhaps it is time for the Messiah to come. But now that you have not greeted him, maybe Elijah will think that the time is not yet right." What's the lesson from this story? What's the lesson from this story? John. Okay, that's right. Don't turn folks away. Treat people kindly. Why? Well, because one, it's the right thing to do. Let's not skip over that. But two, you never know, Sue, right? It just could be Elijah who is there knocking on your door. Right? What's Elijah's role in the story? Oh, what's Elijah's role in the story? This is the interactive part. I'll ask questions. You at home can give answers to in text if you want. What's Elijah's role in the story? To test us, to check us, to make sure that we're learning that lesson. You should always say Shalom Aleichem to somebody who you might not know. All right, a second story. Soft like a reed, not hard like a cedar. The story is told of Rabbi Elazar, son of Rabbi Shimon, who was once returning from his teacher's house, was riding leisurely on his donkey by the lakeshore, and he felt pretty elated and thoroughly satisfied with himself because he had studied a lot of Torah. While he was in this mood, he chanced upon an exceedingly ugly man who greeted him, "Shalom Aleichem, peace upon you, my master." Rabbi Elazar did not return the greeting, but listened, looked at him instead and said, "You worthless creature, how ugly you are! Are all the people in your city as ugly as you are?" The man replied, "What can I do about it? Go tell the craftsman who made me how ugly is the vessel that you have made." Well, Rabbi Elazar immediately realized the wrong that he had done. He got down off the donkey and bowed low before the man and said to him, "I apologize to you. Please do forgive me." The man replied, "I will not apologize. I will not forgive you until you go to the craftsman who made me and you tell him how ugly is the vessel you have made." Well, Rabbi Elazar followed the man, begging his forgiveness until he reached the man's city. But when the people of the city came out, they recognized Rabbi Elazar, this great Torah scholar, and they greeted him with the word, "Shalom Aleichem, my master, my teacher." And the man said, "Who are you addressing as my master, my teacher?" He said, "This guy behind me, this is how this guy treated me," and he told them the story. The people said, "Oh, you must forgive him. He is a man greatly learned in Torah. He must have been distracted by all that he had studied." The man said, "For your sake, I will forgive him, but only on condition that he not make a habit of such behavior." Rabbi Elazar immediately entered into the house of study, and he taught all the students there on the subject. A person at all times should be soft as a reed and not hard as a cedar. For he realized that pride could harden a person's heart and make of his learning a worthless thing. Then Rabbi Elazar went to go find the stranger to beg his forgiveness once more, but the man had vanished. And only then did Rabbi Elazar realize that the man, of course, had been none other than Elijah the prophet. What's our lesson from our story here? Don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge people by how they look. What else do we learn from here? It's not enough just to say sorry. Sometimes the hurt is more than that. That's right. Everyone is a vessel. Very good. A reflection of God, the craftsman who makes us one and all. And he had just come. He was so full of Torah. You would think the Torah would have gone from his brain into his heart, right? And not to be, as it says, as hard as the cedars of Lebanon, but soft and pliable as a reed. And what's Elijah's role in this story? To remind Rabbi Elazar about humility, that's right, or to test him once again to come in to see. All right, one final story. This is a tale of Elijah and the mirror. A pious and wealthy Jew once asked his rabbi, "For 40 years I have opened the door for Elijah every Seder night, waiting for him to come, but he never does. What is the reason for this?" The rabbi answered, "In your neighborhood, there lives a very poor family with many children. I want you to call upon that family and propose to the man that you and your family celebrate Passover with him at his house. And for this purpose, you will provide him and his family with everything needed for all 7 days of the festival. Then on Seder night, Elijah will certainly come." Well, the man was a little skeptical of this, but decided he would do what the rabbi said. He went to his neighbor. He offered to supply everything that would be needed for all of Pesach if this family would host him and his family for Seder. Well, the neighbor was quite surprised by the offer, but accepted. Preparations were made, the Seder was held, and it turned out to be a rather joyful evening, filled with prayers and singing, with food and with wine, and with great joy for everyone. The two families who had never really known each other got along very well. It was a lovely holiday, except for one thing. When the Seder reached the part where the door was open for Elijah, much to the man's disappointment, once again, Elijah did not appear. After Passover, the man returned to the rabbi and claimed yet again he had waited in vain for Elijah, even though he had done everything that the rabbi had said. The rabbi said, "I know very well that Elijah came on Seder night to the house of your poor neighbor." "Impossible," said the man. "I was there the whole time. I was waiting for him. I didn't see anyone." "But of course, you could not see him," said the rabbi. And he held a mirror before the face of the man and had him peer into it. "Look, that night, this was Elijah's face." What's our moral of the story here with this Elijah tale? Any of us can be Elijah. What does that mean? What does that mean that any of us can be Elijah? Any of us can help others, right? Any of us can show kindness, right? What is it that Elijah is supposed to do? Bring redemption, right? And any of us can be checking it out and making our world such that we would be worthy of redemption. A couple of stories for us about Elijah, but a warning, be on the lookout for Elijah, because you never know when he may appear or what guise he might take. It might even be one of us. Shabbat Shalom.